are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a full house once again today. We've got a ton of games to get to. We've got a ton of picks to share with you. We've got a ton of props to break down. Ted Stefanski is going to bat leadoff. Teddy will join us from Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk about last night's classic World Series game. We'll get Teddy's thoughts on Game 3. Game 3 goes down Friday night in Houston. Lance McCullers versus Yu Darvish. Gary and Thorne will join us in studio. We'll get his thoughts on the World Series. People are calling last night's Game 2 an instant classic. Hard to disagree, although I would have enjoyed a little bit more if the Dodgers would have won a baseball game. I could have lived without the classic last night, actually. I would have preferred just a nice, boring 3-1 win for the Dodgers the way things were going late in a baseball game. And the Dodgers were 98-0, man. 98-0 this year when leading going into the ninth inning. I wasn't counting the money, but I had my eye on it. I got to be honest. I was thinking, yeah, we're going up. We're going to Houston up 2-0. I nailed these Dodger games. I nailed the under. Great start to the World Series. And I hate to admit, but I kept clicking last night to in-game unders. And devastating, man, when the game was tied. Nevertheless, great baseball game, man. You know, I might be a Dodger fan, but I get it. Great baseball. Great baseball game last night, and I don't think we're done. It's going to be a great series playing out. So we'll talk baseball with Teddy. We'll talk football with Teddy. We'll talk baseball with Gary. We'll talk football with Gary. And I like to bring Gary in when the Miami Dolphins are playing a big football game or in prime time. Is Gary and Thorne is a Miami Dolphin fan. And I don't know. I think that he might be pretty Dolphin fans. It's interesting to see different fan bases. Some fan bases are like arrogant, and they think their team's going to win all the time. Then you got other fan bases like us, the Buffalo Bills. We're too wasted to give you a pick whether we're going to win or lose. We're too busy smashing each other's faces in the parking lot. But Bills fans are generally pretty negative. Like, the Bills could be 10-2. They're not in the playoffs yet, you know. And you got to be that way. They haven't been there forever. You know, Miami Dolphin fans are amongst the most negative people I've ever met in my life. And it's funny because I really used to dislike the Dolphins. Like, you know, the Bills rivalry and stuff. Now it's the Patriots, supposedly. You know, whatever. You know, growing up, the Patriots always sucked. They've been good since they've cheated and have had Tom Brady. But, you know, growing up, I was never a Miami Dolphin guy, okay? You know, it was a big rivalry against the Buffalo Bills. But getting to know Dolphin fans over the years, I dislike the Dolphins a hell of a lot less. Dolphin fans aren't chirpy jackasses. They, you know, I'm more optimistic about Dolphin fans or about their team. Every Dolphin fan I know, there's a lot of them, our boy Lucas, Syracuse Lucas, he thinks the Dolphins are going to lose every week. I think Gary and Thorne thinks the Dolphins are going to go 0-16 every year. Our boy Craig Ballard. Ballard loves his fish. He thinks they're 3-13 every year. It's like they're terrible. Like, Dolphin fans aren't happy people. They're not like positive. Oh, yeah, we're going to get it done. I don't know, man. Matt Moore, I think they can get it done this evening. We're going to break it down. Joe Lisi. And you know what? I think Joe Lisi's a Dolphin fan. He actually is, I believe. I'm pretty sure Joe Lisi's a Dolphin fan. We always kid that Joe only cares about college football, but I believe Joe's got a soft spot in his heart for Dan Marino and the Miami Dolphins. Dear God, man, all these Dolphin fans. You know, we'll ask Teddy who he's a fan of. Nobody. Teddy's like the most cold-hearted capper in the world. He doesn't care about anything, man. You can have like Make-A-Wish Foundation like moment at the game. Yeah, you know, whatever. Who covered? I want to find out. Like, growing up, was Teddy a fan of anybody? Is Teddy a fan of anybody now? As we get older, we sort of become less fans of teams along the way. But I was pretty into that Los Angeles Dodger game last night. But I am also one of these people that always thinks, like, I do believe the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. And I'm going to be happy for that moment. But after that, it doesn't change my life. Like, people, you know, I think we put a little bit too much into this stuff at times. And I get it. I get it. I remember when the Boston Red Sox won. And, you know, it was 87 years. And I saw a guy saying, you know, I could die now happy. And I kind of thought to myself at the time, if my happiness as a senior citizen is depending on 25 dudes that I don't know winning a baseball game, then my life is probably pretty incomplete, to be honest with you. But if the Buffalo Bills won a Super Bowl, I'd probably be just like that guy. All right, so Joe Lisi's going to join us. Ted Stefanski's going to join us. and Gary Thorne is going to join us. So we told you, and we all knew, that this World Series was basically as close as it gets. It was closer than a lap dance, all right, at a Montreal strip club. Closer to the lap dance and super sex, and anybody who's been to super sex knows they get pretty close, all right? Now, last night's game, instant classic, would have been more of an instant classic, in my opinion, if the Dodgers would have won a damn game, but holy crap, the resiliency, man, of both baseball teams, the skill of both baseball teams. We might be watching one of the best World Series ever after watching one of the best games ever last night. You know, Clayton Kershaw, dominant performance in game one. Justin Verlander and Rich Hill going back and forth. Rich Hill holding his own. Last night's game had a little bit of everything. The Los Angeles Dodgers, man, were 98-0 on the year when leading after eight innings. And they make that 98-1 right now. We told you coming into the World Series that they had a combined 10 players that had 20 or more home runs. Last night they set a Major League Baseball World Series record with 8 home runs in a baseball game. And, you know, think about this. The game was 1-1 all night. It was 1-0. Ended up with 8 home runs, 5 of them in extra innings, which is also a postseason record. I told Cam Stewart on Red Heat and Rage Radio earlier in the week that I expect a couple of these games to have some crooked numbers up on the board. Remember that Toronto Blue Jay Philadelphia Philly World Series game many years ago? I think it was a 15-14 game, 16-15, 15-14, 15-14. That would be my bet if I was on Stop the Schwab. But it was a high-scoring game. And now they're going to go to Houston, which is indoors. It's a hitter's park. And you got all this power, you got all this offense. I think there's going to be a lot of runs still put up on the board over the weekend. Yu Darvish on the hill on Friday, man. But last night we had a little bit of everything, including Lance Diaz, second base umpire, getting hit with a pickoff attempt. And the ball would have went in the center field, and that did hurt the Los Angeles Dodgers, but it is just part of the game. So when it's all said and done, where we are right now, we're locked up at 1. We've got a series on our hands. Los Angeles Dodgers opened up as minus 165 series favorites. Now they're minus 125. It's Darvish. It's McCullers on Friday night. We got to wait 24 hours, which kind of sucks. But we got a great World Series, and I think we're finding out why it's not called the Fall Classic for nothing. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. Best time of the sports year continues as well, and it looks like it's going to be this way for another week or two as well. College basketball is actually right around the corner. World Series takes a day off. They travel, going to Houston, the 2-3-2-4 match, so we got a full weekend of baseball Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yu Darvish and McCullers, NFL football on the board tonight. We've got 4 college football games on tap. And, you know, when I saw the college football games are on tap, it was Teddy joining us. Now, Steve Merrill, Merrill's a trooper, man. You know, Merrill steps up on Fridays, and he gets stuck with Old Dominion games, and we break them down. I looked at the college board today. I'm like, oh, Teddy's joining us. I'm like, man, if I ask Teddy about these games, he's going to go, pass. Oh, I'm not betting that game. That game sucks. And then I was like, oh, but we got Joe Lisi. Joe Lisi, you know, wait till Joe Lisi, the enthusiasm that he's going to have for the South Alabama-Georgia State game, all right? You know, I guarantee you. To be fired up. And you know what? Pretty big game for bowling purposes right there. So, yeah, there's a ton of stuff going on, man. If you're a sports fan right now, it's the best time of the year. It's the best time of the year to be a fantasy player as well. And one of the best new places to play is over at Dober.Games. Fantasy sports just got a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games by Dober.Games. No more long lineups or complicated salary caps. Very simple. They put up fantasy over-under player matchups. So, you know, quarterback over under points for tonight's football game, you go over under. You pick 3 player matchups, you get paid 6-1. And the cool thing about it over at Dober Games is Dober.Games, you can mix like NBA with NFL. So tonight you can take like over under points for and fantasy points for Damian Lillard and mix that up with over under fantasy points for a Matt Moore. So check it out, guys. Very, very interesting. You know, the future of fantasy sports is arriving across the board. A lot of great places to play, including Dober.games. Make any combination of matchups you want. Play quarterbacks, receivers, pick across multiple sports. Three matchups, you win cash prizes. Use promo code PUNT to enter a free contest with cash prizes just for joining. All right, you don't have to, you know, deposit it, just enter it. Promo code PUNT, fill out the website. That's promo code PUNT. You can win cash fast and easy at Dober.games. Sign up now at Dober.games. Teddy's going to sign up the second he gets off the air with us. Ted Savransky joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada. What's going on, Teddy?
Marnc, what's a good word today, my friend?
Good stuff, Teddy. I got to love Mark Lawrence. Mark's such the salesman. I did the pitch of Dober.games before a Mark segment. And Mark asked me, what's that website? Can you know? And like, let me write that down. Oh, Dober.com, like Mark's sale. Yeah, you would have thought that Mark's getting a commission. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what's that name again? What's the website?
Yeah, Dober.games, Teddy. That's at Dober.games. Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, Mark's the best. So yeah, thanks for joining us, Teddy. Yeah, great time of the year to be a sports fan. What a roller coaster last night. And as I stated off top of the show, I was on the Dodgers and the under last night. And I wasn't counting my money in the eighth inning, but I'm not going to lie. You know, I was daydreaming about it a little bit and thinking about how great I was and how I had the Dodgers in the under in game one and, oh, Verlander this and Verlander that. I got the Dodgers in the under in game two. I'm going to go 4-0 in the first two World Series games, and I'm a Dodger fan. Needless to say, Teddy, I was close to tears about 2 hours later.
Close to tears? Come on, you're a trooper, Gabe.
I'm a Dodger
fan. You really
fallen? I'm a Dodger fan.
A fan. I understand that some people are fans still.
I brought this up off the top, I know. We brought that up. You're the coldest non-fan that we know. No, I am a Dodger fan.
I'm a fan for these teams. Look, I spent half my life as a fan. You're handcuffed. You're handcuffed to every stupid thing that every manager, GM, and player does.
Who were you a fan of before? When you went in the old days, when Ted Savransky once had a soul and a heart, who were you a fan of?
I was a big Michigan fan. You know, yeah. I mean, the Fab Five was the last team that I truly loved. You know, I was a big Wolverines fan.
So you were upset after the timeout and stuff, like from a personal, you were like, son of a bitch, I can't believe that. And, I was exaggerating a little bit when I said I was near tears. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was more upset about my bet than the Dodgers losing.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to lie. I was every bit as upset about the Washington Wizards as I was the Dodgers. But I'm both, Teddy. I am a fan, but I am jaded as well. You know what I mean?
So I think it was my first year in Vegas. Literally my first football season. And it's Michigan State, Michigan. And I made a big bet on Michigan State in that game against my alma mater, against the Wolverines. And Plaxico Burress went nuts in Ann Arbor. I think he scored 3 touchdowns. And I was standing on my chair. Go, Sparty, go. And after that day, I'm like, you're not a fan. You're no fan. Yeah. So, I mean, as soon as I came to Vegas, it was gone. You know, and then there was some left maybe, but it didn't last.
All right. From a neutral observer then, Teddy, we'll get your opinion on this one since I'm biased, right? But all kidding aside, I actually like the Dodgers to bounce back in game 3 here. I like the Darvish situation against McCullers. And I'm playing a little bit of a human element here in the sense. I think the teams get caught up, man, in the player introductions, the World Series, the hype, the families, the mistresses, the strippers, the girlfriends, and everything else that comes along with it. I believe that the Dodgers win tomorrow and then probably lose on Saturday. I'm sort of framing this storyline out here. But, I mean, this game, it's a toss-up. This is as evenly matched as a World Series as I've ever seen.
No, I think the Dodgers have a couple of edges.
They did certainly last night in the bullpen. That's what, you know, the best is last night live on the air, Teddy, during the podcast, when the game, so the Dodgers, they're down. You know, Jansen blows the lead, 5-3, comes back 5-5. And then somebody in the chat says, you got to like the Dodgers' chances, advantage, bullpen. I'm like, the bullpen just blew it.
Well, that's because Roberts was trying to end the game in nine.
I can't disagree with the decision.
He used up all of his bullpen arms early.
I don't disagree with the decision. He had to do it. You go with Jansen. You're 98-0 in that spot. I don't disagree with him.
Yeah. And look, once the game went into extra innings, the betting markets had it right. Did you see Houston going into the 10th minus 125?
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, the markets knew that the Dodgers had blown all the key arms out of their bullpen. And they reacted accordingly. And, of course, you know, the Dodgers couldn't get anyone out in the 10th. They couldn't get anyone out in the 11th, with Fields in particular having a pretty rough rough showing. But number one is that, okay, the bullpen had a hiccup. I don't think it's a long-term problem for the Dodgers. Two is that I want my money on Yu Darvish any game I can get my money on Yu Darvish right now. I mean, that's the truth of it. And you'd get him at a plus price. I bet him at 105, plus 105 this morning. Yu Darvish is bet on all the way, and the Dodgers were minus 160 to minus 180 in this series for a reason. Dodgers off a loss, easy play for me. No question where I'm going with this one.
Yeah,
Dodgers are going to win this series, and Dodgers are going to win on Friday night to take back control. So I want Darvish, and I want that lineup. I understand how good Houston's been at home here in the postseason. Not against Darvish. Look at their track record when facing Dodgers' number three starter here in the postseason. To see Darvish the number three starter tells you exactly why I expect the Dodgers to win this World Series.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. Of course, Yu Darvish comes over from the Texas Rangers, longtime division rivals of the Houston Astros. So he's pitched in that park before. He's got good numbers. The Astros only hitting .191 against them collectively. And it's a big enough sample size. I think it's like 163 at-bats type of thing in that range.
Yeah.
So it's a big enough sample size that you can say, yeah, he knows these guys. Like Altuve really struggles. The only guy I noticed, George Springer, hits him well, but that's about it. So we're in agreement there. It's a hell of a World Series. So is tonight's NFL game going to be on? Is this going to be an instant classic? We got the Dolphins and the Ravens tonight. It's not a pretty one by any stretch of the imagination. And it's amazing. If you look at the Dolphins' numbers, Teddy, specifically their offensive numbers, you know, they might be, you know, if you just looked at their stats, you'd go, how the hell is this team? Oh, you wouldn't think they're a 4-2 football team. Like their stats don't, you know, they're not a reflection of their record at 4-2. And then the Ravens, to me, I don't know, the Ravens have a feel of a 1-6 team, not a 3-4 team. It's a weird game tonight.
I mean, it's a weird game only in the sense that these are two flawed football teams and very flawed. I mean, you know, you look at the numbers for Baltimore, and you know, the fingers are going to get pointed towards Joe Flacco. And you understand why the fingers are going to get pointed towards Joe Flacco. The numbers are shocking in terms of how far they've gone down. This is a guy, 2014, he averaged 7.2 yards a pass, 91 QB rate. 2015, 6.8 yards a pass, 83.1. 2016, again, the numbers per pass going down to 6.4 and 83.5. This season, this is a guy who was averaging 7.2 yards per attempt with a QB rating of 91 a couple years ago. This year, he's at 5.3 yards per attempt, just a QB rating of 70, and his sack percentage has literally doubled from where it was two seasons ago. Flacco's going to get the blame. It's not Flacco's fault, all right? He's number 32 in the NFL in passer rating, number 32 in yards per pass, and number 32 in net yards per pass, including sacks. Those aren't the type of teams I'm going to lay points with, all right? But when you have Jeremy Maclin out, Rashad Perriman out, and Mike Wallace hurt, and you know your receivers are Chris Moore and Chris Campanero and Griff Whalen, that's not an elite receiving core for Baltimore, to put it mildly. You look at the issues on the offensive line, a team with only one starter in the same spot that he was in last year. You know, you lose Marshall Yanda, the offensive line hasn't been the same since, and Flacco's been under duress throughout. So I know I can't lay with Baltimore. The question is, if Matt Moore is so freaking good, then why on earth that as soon as Ryan Tannehill got hurt, Adam Gase, who knows Matt Moore well, said, we got to get another quarterback in here. Let me go spend $10 million on Jay Cutler.
Because maybe Gase is an idiot. You go into this. Can you argue? Jay Cutler was ready to get run out of town and probably get benched, but they came back in the second half against the Atlanta Falcons. Last week, struggling once again in the first half. Throws a bad interception. I don't know why they had him throwing the ball out of his end zone in that situation. Gay seems to have too much of a man crush on Cutler, and I think it's a detriment. I'm not saying Matt Moore is great, Teddy, but Matt Moore, 20-9 against the spread as a starter, 10-4 against the spread as a starter on the road. But Matt Moore is inconsistent. And as you stated, clearly Adam Gase didn't want Matt Moore as a starting quarterback because he even tried to get A.J. McCarron first, too.
Sure. And look, the Ravens' offense stinks, and it's not getting fixed anytime
soon.
And
what about the Ravens giving up a $1.45 on the ground? You're talking like Flacco. I mean, I thought that's where you're going with that, when the Flacco gets all the blame. But that's unheard of to me, that a Baltimore Raven defense would be ranked 32nd in the NFL and give up 145 yards a game on the ground. And for the record, Jay Ajayi, rushing prop tonight is 83.5 rushing yards.
All of which I agree. However, if Miami's down, Jay Ajayi's not getting those numbers, you know? And Baltimore's issues on the defensive side against the run have largely also been injury-related. They've been missing their nose tackle, who's, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber player. But even with the issues against the run, they're still number two in the NFL with 16 takeaways. And we've seen lots of quarterbacks coming off the bench and look good. Hey, there's no film. It's all adrenaline. You know, look what C.J. Beathard did against Washington 2 weeks ago. And then you put him in as a starter last week.
Yeah.
And oh, now there's film, and now there's pressure. And what happened in that game? C.J. Beathard didn't look quite the same way. I worry about that from the Matt Moore side of the equation this evening for the Miami Dolphins.
A lot of people are liking the under in this football game. Is it too low for you? It's tough to bet unders in the modern NFL. You know, there seems to be, you know, what's interesting about this perception of reality, I always tell people different things. As bad as the Ravens' offense is, the Dolphins actually are worse, technically, as far as scoring. The Dolphins score 15 points a game. The Ravens score 18 points a game. If you believe in the trends, the past trends, the Dolphins, the last 9 Thursday night contests they've been in, 8 of them have gone under with one push. Ravens 3-0 to the under in their last 3 Thursday football games. Is the total too low for you to get scared off, or is it one of these surprise over games that everyone thinks nothing's going to happen in?
Well, I'm not going to play this under, and I'll tell you why. There's a defensive chance. There's a decent chance we see defensive points in this game. You know, we have two offensive lines that are not playing great and two quarterbacks that, in theory, are susceptible to making mistakes.
Yeah.
So a decent chance for a non-offensive TD. Let's not forget the Ravens had two TDs in their last home game.
I can see Matt Moore. I can see Matt Moore fumbling on his own 9-yard line.
I could too, without doubt. And the other issue is that both of these teams, and Baltimore in particular, they've been taking shots. The Ravens, we saw it in the game against the Raiders where they came out. They were firing deep right from the get-go. They were taking shots again last week at Minnesota. Didn't connect on those shots. But, you know, unders, I want quarterbacks that are going to dink and dunk all game. I don't think Joe Flacco is going to do that. I think Flacco will take his shots. And the Ravens do have a fair chance to get a couple of quick strike TDs. And there's nothing worse than having an under 37 or 37.5. And you get a couple of quick strike TDs and a non-offensive score. And then, you know, you're up against it right there. So if I was actually playing this game, I could only play the over, even though I've got my concerns about both offenses.
All right, Teddy. So I want to get to, we've only got about 4 minutes. I got 4 more games I want to get to. So we'll go a minute a game, rapid fire. But it sounds like you don't trust the Dolphins in this spot.
No, I don't. And the market, the point spread is telling you not to trust the Dolphins in this spot. The markets are very clear. You know, my powering number for this game was 2. And, you know, and normally, well, there's that big a differential, you know, a differential off that. I'm like, let's take a look at the dog. But I don't like the spot here for Miami.
All right. Ted Savransky over at coversexperts.com does his weekly NFL power rankings. You can also watch his daily video over at SBR's YouTube pitch with Paulie Howard, Sports Pit. So, Ted, you got your power rankings. So we'll go rapid fire, a minute a game per game here. 21 in your power rankings. Chargers at the top team in your list, the Patriots. Patriots starting to round into form here a little bit. The defense has stopped the bleeding. You know, it's a tough spot for the Chargers after winning 3 straight games. It kind of sucks for them. They got a little momentum, and now they got to deal with the Patriots. But, you know, I've always talked that Phillip Rivers is the king of teasers, man. And he's also the king of covering on the road as a dog because that back door is always open with the Chargers. He's the king. Him and Stafford, they're just going to keep throwing, and you always get that late touchdown. You're getting 7 points, and I see, as you wrote, Chargers covered 67% of their time on the road as dogs since 2012.
Yeah, I mean, they've been really good in this role. And the one thing that's been most impressive about this little run for the L.A. Chargers has been their defense. You know, Joey Bosa getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks every week. We're seeing playmaking in the secondary, which I don't remember the last time I saw that in a Chargers secondary. not in any recent season anyway. And it's a defense that is legitimately getting stops on a week in, week out basis. Of course, New England, a different animal in that regard. And from a yards per play standpoint, the New England Patriots still rank dead last in the NFL defensively by a wide margin. And yet we've seen the last 2 weeks that defense play a whole lot better. I think New England's full season stats are lying right now. And that has me looking for spots to back the Patriots and potentially to play the Patriots under the total. I think the defense is better than the markets are giving them credit for.
All right, we've only got 2 minutes here. The Texans ranked 12th in your power poll. Taking on the Seattle Seahawks, ranked 3rd. Some people might think that's high. I don't. I've been talking all week about how Seattle are a dangerous football team as Eagle fans are celebrating the NFC Conference Championship already. Seattle's a dangerous team. Yes, I'm aware their offensive line is terrible and they're having problems on the D-line as well. But they know how to win football games as the season, as the weather gets worse, they get better. They know how to dial it up a notch. I think there's still a, you know, the window, this is pretty much it for this football team. I think they get that as well. And I'm not even saying they're great, but they get home field advantage. They're tough to beat. You know, they're just, they're a difficult team. You know, some people think that the five and a half is too much. That Seattle, oh, they're, you know, they, you know, Russell Wilson's running for his life. And then others think Deshaun Watson's going to struggle on the road here.
So when it comes to the Seahawks, and you talk about the Seahawks being ranked number 3 in my power ratings, the Patriots number 1 in my power ratings, there aren't great teams in the NFL this year.
No, there really aren't.
And that's the truth of it. Every week, I'm like, this is the low. From a pure numerical standpoint, the Patriots are my lowest number 1 that I've had in the last 5 years. I think the Seahawks are the lowest number 3 that I've had at this stage of the campaign in the last 10 years. There are not any elite teams in the NFL this year. No juggernauts, nary a one, which means that teams like Houston, maybe they're live to make some noise down the stretch. This is without a doubt the toughest defense that Deshaun Watson has faced so far. We saw him on the Thursday night game in Cincy in his first start, really struggled to throw the football in that contest. That was a short week. That was his first start on the road. I'm not going to compare this to that, but that's the only good defense that he's faced. And he's faced a couple of lesser defenses in recent weeks, and obviously he's put up monster numbers. From a situational standpoint, I like Houston coming off the bye. From a who-can-get-stop standpoint, the Seahawks are a heck of a lot better defensively than the Texans without Merciless and J.J. Watt, two impact injuries for Houston on the defensive side of the football.
I always get the feeling that Seattle wins a close one. Seattle wins, Houston covers. But you know, we've got a couple of days to kick the tires on this. Unfortunately, Teddy, we're out of time already. Check out Teddy over at coversexperts.com, sportsmemo.com, sportsbookreview.com is daily video with Paulie Howard as well. Always a pleasure, Teddy.
Cheers. Have a great weekend. Best of luck, buddy.
Yeah, may the winners be yours, Teddy. There's Ted Safransky with us. We take a quick break. Gary and Thorne joins me in studio.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live, so I won't drop any F-bombs. I don't even think we have a 7-second delay, do we?
No, can't afford one.
We're walking a tightrope. Walking a tightrope. Things might get controversial with Gary and Thorne here as well. Gary and likes to stir the pot. It's Miami Dolphins taking on the Baltimore Ravens this evening. But before we get to that, of course, Gary and Thorne's a big baseball fan, unlike Ted Safransky, that hates everything.
Well, look, I'll say this. If I could choose to not be a Dolphin fan, I would.
See, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you saw my intro of the show because I was talking about how I, growing up, I never liked the Dolphins. You know, Bills fan, bit of rivalry. Yeah. And, you know, I hate to crush all you Patriot fans, but used to be irrelevant and useless, like you will be soon enough. And, you know, there was no reason to dislike them.
Yeah.
You know, it was the Bills and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the rivalry. Those were the, you know, the two good teams in the division. The common pattern is the Jets have always sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jets were good 1 year with Joe Namath, like 46 years ago, and have sucked ever since.
Well, midway through the fourth quarter of that game last week, the Dolphins-Jets game, there's a lot of chatter on Twitter that Josh McCown might be moving inside the top 10 of all-time Jets quarterbacks, and I really couldn't debate that. There's not a whole lot of great Jets quarterbacks to draw from. Testaverde's probably one, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Kenny O'Brien?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. You know, the Jack Todd, I'm going back to Todd.
Ray Lucas? He had that one season.
I'm thinking back to the 70s type of guys. Ray Lucas, yeah, Ray Lucas. They've had some bad quarterbacks over the years.
Some bad quarterbacks.
How about Chad Pennington?
Pennington's well inside their top five.
Chad Pennington would be amongst, so Joe Namath, number one.
Yeah, Joe Namath, number one.
And then who?
Probably Testaverde.
No, not Boomer. Boomer's a Bengal.
Yeah.
Boomer's a Bengal. That's a good question. I don't know.
Was Testaverde a Buck?
Ken O'Brien put up big numbers.
Yeah,
Ken
O'Brien wasn't actually as bad as people make him out to be.
Yeah, and I just called him Jack Todd. Jack Todd's the jackass writer of Montreal who sucks hard. You suck, Todd.
Baseball.
Just wanted to get that through, yes. We got a Canadian fan in the room. He got a laugh out of that. I'm sure Jack Todd's watching right now, too. Of course he's not watching. This has nothing to do with hockey. all right, baseball, Garrett. Yeah. Baseball World Series. What a roller coaster game last night. What a sweat job. And Joe Girardi, gone for the Yankees. A lot of Blue Jays fans want Girardi, It's not happening, guys. Like, you guys are stupid. Shut up.
It's a weird thing with Girardi, too, because you praise him for, like, his usage of the bullpen. He's been gifted arguably the best bullpen in baseball three of the last 4 years.
A lot of the argument is he was 905 and 705 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's all situation.
I think you and I could have been like, would we have really sucked like managing that team?
Well, that was the old Cito Gaston thing, which was like Cito Gaston, great manager. Was he? I feel like I could have sat on my ass and coached the 92-93 Jays to a World Series championship.
He's not taking anything away from him.
No.
I know. But yeah, listen, it's funny with Girardi, though. People, the same people that wanted this guy's head on a platter 2 weeks ago because of the decisions against Cleveland.
Oh, it's the grass is always greener thing.
Yeah, now he's gone. He's pretty good. What's going on here?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the change. I think it was a time for a change with him, and I think Girardi did rub a lot of guys the wrong way in that room.
I think it'll help pace of play in baseball. Yeah, no one loves a midgeting pitching change like Joe Girardi.
That's a good point. If we can get rid of Gibbons, too, like with the slow walks to the mound. Gibby's a good guy, but that walk to the mound, Gibby, like, really, dude. Like, I don't understand that.
He's got, like, the holster points of the bullpen, though, where just like.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's buying time, right? Yeah. That's his thing.
Yeah.
And he was a catcher, too, wasn't
Aren't we
he?
All? Yeah, he was a catcher.
So he's
got no
down.
Knees left.
Yeah. He's beaten down. And he's hung over most of the time. Okay, so World Series. Game three, hell of a series going on right
now.
Yeah,
great series.
Ted Savransky seems to believe the Dodgers still in control of this. Do you agree?
I would agree. I mean, I don't think it changed my perspective on the series, the outcome of game two. Obviously, for a while there, looked like the Dodgers were going to go up 2-0 and take a really commanding lead in this series. But going into that game, we all knew the Astros had to win that contest. They could not lose a Verlander start in this series. Realistically, they probably can't afford to lose many Keuchel starts in this series either. I mean, when you get to the Charlie Mortons of the world and Lance McCullers, I mean, look, Morton's a good pitcher. And I like Charlie Morton as a regular season guy. I love Charlie Morton in fantasy.
So what do you think, Morton versus Wood?
Morton versus Wood, I mean, that's one of those matchups where I think I have to lean Alex Wood. And when you look at, I know Yu Darvish has struggled as a Dodger, but Yu Darvish from a pure
stuff
perspective.
No, but he's pitched well his last five starts.
He's
come on.
He's still Yu Darvish.
He struggled his first four starts with the Dodgers. He's been great since late August.
I mean, look, it's a small sample in the late July, early August period of the season. Yu Darvish, the prior 4.5 years, was one of the five best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
I think I'll side with that sample over the other one. So I do think the Dodgers are still the better team. I think they've got the better bullpen. I think the way Dave Roberts managed that game, I will never question how he managed it. He managed to win a 9-inning game. If you tell any Dodger fan, and I could ask you right now, if you could take being up 3-2 in the 9th inning with Kenley Jansen on the mound,
oh, yeah.
You take that every time.
No, I had no problem with you had to go all in. I didn't have a problem with him pitching 2 innings.
No, it was fine.
It's the World Series. It's what you do.
Day off the next day.
Guys, it's driving me crazy here, man. Is it Richard Todd? Can you guys just tell me, quarterback, New
Richard
York
Todd.
Jets?
It's Richard Todd.
It's Richard Todd.
Yeah, it's Richard Todd.
All right. Damn you, Jack Todd. See, you're stuck in my head so much. 42 career wins. Have what, 68 losses? 51 losses. He used to play at Shea Stadium when the The garbage. Remember the garbage used to flow around, the garbage bags and
not
stuff.
Not great.
Even Shea Baseball.
Man, even, I mean, even Namath's got a losing
record. Sixth best winning percent. Well, okay, rattle off. So who's the best? Joe Namath? Vinny Testaverde?
Yeah, I swear Namath's got a losing
Sanchez,
record.
Mark Sanchez, Chad Pennington, Joe Namath, Ken O'Brien, Richard Todd.
I swear Namath has more interceptions than touchdowns for his career, or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, but he wore fur coats and
he won
a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
And he wanted to kiss Susie Colbert. All right, so Dolphins and Ravens tonight. See, I was saying earlier again, I didn't like Dolphin fans, but now that I know a lot more Dolphin fans, I didn't like the Dolphins, but I know you guys as fans, you're not arrogant.
I don't have a lot to be proud of.
Not like guys like Reed. And like I said off top of the program, Reed, it's a family program. I don't know what kind of, you know, material, you know, you think is appropriate, but nevertheless, you're not like arrogant Patriot fans like Reed and Bruin fans. We're the best. You guys are very self-deprecating. You think the Dolphins are terrible? They have no hope in making a playoff.
They are. I mean, it's really a state of circumstances. I have nothing to be a braggart about.
You know what's funny? Everyone rips on the Ravens. They're like, Joe Flacco sucks. The Ravens' offense sucks. Miami scored less. Yeah. They scored 15 points a game.
Although a lot of what Baltimore does is special teams, and they're very good. They're still very good at special teams. It's going to happen when you have the best kicker in the NFL, but you look at some of the numbers they put up this season. They are last in yards per drive. They are last in touchdowns per drive. Their offense as a whole is
We have 2 minutes here, so how much did you finger Jay Cutler for that?
Well, the Ravens were last in all those categories. The Dolphins not doing a whole lot better.
The Ravens are. Oh, yeah, no, the Dolphins, I was going to say, the
not
Dolphins
a whole lot
are
better.
Right there, too.
Dolphins not a whole lot better. But I will say this. It was a small sample from last week's game, and as soon as Tannehill went down, I came on this show and I said that if you were ranking the quarterbacks in the NFL, somewhere between 20 to 25, you would find all three of these guys. Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Matt Moore, not all that different in terms of raw rankings. But they are different types of quarterbacks, and I think Jay Cutler, we saw it, that much like how Teddy was talking about Joe Flacco's just inability to push the ball down the field so far this season, Jay Cutler just wasn't taking any chances. He wasn't the Jay Cutler of old.
Yeah.
And he was still managing to throw picks, which is saying something about how bad he had played. Matt Moore came in, his average depth of target in that game against the Jets in the second half, over 11 yards per target. He was actually trying to move the ball down the field. And when Devontae Parker comes back, that's the type of quarterback that this team needs to utilize the offense. Get the damn safeties out of the box.
And what's the
and
deal
let
with
Jay Ajayi actually run
what's
the football.
What's the deal with Parker tonight?
He's questionable. I think he's going to play. It's a game time decision.
The props, the books, I haven't put it up. They have a Landry prop up, but they know we got to get out of here, Garrett. But the Ravens gave up 145 yards a game on the ground, which is just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Gase has a tendency, though, of not running the football consistently. Will they get Ajayi involved tonight? His prop is 83.5 yards. Do you like Ajayi from a fantasy perspective tonight?
I think I do. I mean, he's got three consecutive games of 20 carries. He's one of just five running backs this season with at least four games of 20 carries on the year. He hasn't done anything. He's the only running back in football yet to carry the ball inside the five-yard line of the opponent. Like, just does not have a goal line carry this year.
Last week, 2.2 yards per carry or something like that.
It was bad, but still 26 carries. Like, he's going to be utilized in this game. Baltimore has not had a good run defense. Tunsil seems like he's going to play. Pouncey's going to play. Their line's as good as it could be.
So what's your prediction? We got to get out of here. What's your pick for tonight's football game?
I like the Dolphins +3.
Yeah.
I'm not laying points with the Ravens. And when it was 3.5, that was ludicrous. 3, a little bit more reasonable, but Dolphins +3.
Really feels like a 1916 style game. We brought it up in the past. Matt Moore is 20-9 against the spread as a starting quarterback. 29 games he started. Now he's often getting points.
Yeah.
But he's nevertheless 10-9. And 10-4 against the spread on the road as well. All right, we'll take a quick break. Joe Lisi's going to join us. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some college football. Notre Dame, NC State, your Irish flying under the radar
Notre
right
Dame
now.
Notre Dame big on Saturday.
Notre Dame big, says Gary and Thorne. We'll see. Joe Lisi will probably agree. Notre Dame by double digits, Gabe. Joe Lisi coming up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-84-FNTSY. 843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's get down to business and talk some college football with a man that's as passionate about the college game as Keith Jackson himself. Whoa, Nelly! Although Keith Jackson wouldn't be doing the games tonight, he wouldn't be saying, whoa, Nelly, about these games. But they're actually pretty intriguing, and I know Joe's going to have an opinion on it because he breaks down every college football game. Let's get right down to business. We'll go rapid fire, Joe, through these first games so we can get to some of the marquee ones on Saturday. Eastern Michigan, Northern Illinois tonight. It looks like the Huskies are starting to come back to form after a couple of years of struggling due to injuries. And it looks like Eastern Michigan's starting to come back to form from being, you know, they've been horrible forever. They've been nice. They had a nice run. Now they're 2-5. They're actually 5-2 against the spread. They've lost a lot of close games. But Northern Illinois lays 7 points in this game tonight up there in DeKalb. What do you make of this one, Joe? Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Northern Illinois in this matchup, Gabe. They're averaging 191 rushing yards per game. Eastern Michigan giving up 183 yards on the ground. I think that's the difference. I like the Huskies to cover this number later today.
Yeah, I think they get it done, too. I like the. I think that we got some points put up on the board of this football game as well. Ball State have just been getting killed on a weekly basis. Toledo, 6-1. Very impressive, man, Toledo. 6-1 to Toledo Rockets with their only loss against the Miami Hurricanes, and they were up at the half in that football game. So Toledo laying 25.5, is it too much to lay, or do you think they're actually going to slaughter them?
Yeah, Ball State's not the same offense with their quarterback, Riley Neal, who's injured. They're only averaging 19 points per game. I can only look Toledo here. I think they cover this number, even though it's 26.5. I look for the Rockets to cover this number later today.
All right. We've got South Alabama and Georgia State. To the common eye, it looks like a real clunker here. Jags 3-4, State Cubs in here, Panthers at 3-3. But it's a big game for both these teams for bowling purposes. Big game for bowling purposes. You know, to me, you know, it's a tough game for South Alabama. The Jags find a way to win these games on TV a lot. They seem to play well under the lights, as we saw when they beat Troy a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I like Georgia State as a slight home dog here. I think they have the better offense. They're averaging 269 passing yards per game. Both defenses are equally matched, so I like Georgia State as a home dog to get this victory by double digits later tonight.
All right, and you know what? Because I'm an idiot, I'm just realizing I don't think I put my college picks, eh, Warman, on the board? All right, so can you add Northern Illinois minus the 7? Northern Illinois minus the 7. We're going to pass on Toledo and Ball State. We're going South Alabama. South Alabama. And this next one, I'm laying the 21 with Stanford here, Joe. I think the Beavers are in a lot of trouble tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a physicality perspective. Oregon State now coming back to earth. They played well with an interim coach, but I just think they're up against it from a physicality perspective. Look for Bryce Love to run on Oregon State defense tomorrow night. I think that's the difference. Stanford covers this 21.5-point number tomorrow night.
Yeah, so you got, you know, Stanford and Bryce Love. I want to bring it up because last year, every step that McCaffrey took, people were so excited about and freaked out about. You know, Bryce Love might break Barry Sanders' record, and nobody seems to care suddenly. I don't know. It baffles me, but that's besides the point. All right, Saturday, that 3:30 slate this year. And I look forward. Me and Joe and Rich Sermonello will be talking the games. Joe and Rich are on from 9 to noon. I joined him at 10:40 and 11:40 with our best bets. But the Saturday 3:30 slate, NC State, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Georgia, Florida, TCU, Iowa State. This is the best block of college football that we've had so far this year. Maybe not as far as the teams are concerned, but as far as the stakes that are at stake. So NC State, Notre Dame. We got about 4 minutes. Let's blast through the four games. NC State, Notre Dame, two of the more underrated teams in the country.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I like NC State here, Gabe. They have an extra week of preparation. They have a senior quarterback in Ryan Finley and a veteran wide receiver core led by Jalen Samuels. But that defensive front that's allowing 92 rushing yards per game to me is the difference. And I think they could stretch Notre Dame's secondary vertically. I think they get a 31-24 win in South Bend Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's hard to pass up the points in this game. I think it's going to be a close game. Now, for the record, Notre Dame have often struggled after playing the USC Trojans, 3-9 against the spread last 12 times after dancing with the Trojans. But I don't really see this as a letdown spot. As Kelly stated, every game is a playoff game for them from here on out. Plus, they don't play in a conference championship game either. It's going to be a real fun game. But I agree with Joe. I got to take the 7 points with the dog in that game. We'll have our final picks before the game. Penn State, Ohio State. I'm leaning with the underdog in this football game in the Nittany Lions, Joe, getting 6.5.
I'm with you. They have the better quarterback, in my opinion, in Trace McSorley. And defensively, holding opposing offenses to 34% on third down conversions. And in the top two of the turnover margin in FBS, plus 12, I think that's the difference. I like Penn State entering this ballgame. I think they get a close 7-point win in the Horseshoe Saturday afternoon.
Everybody sort of penciled in Georgia into the SEC Conference Championship game against Alabama. But I think there's a couple of landmines awaiting them along the way. That Georgia Tech game's not going to be easy for the Bulldogs. Now, I guess they don't call it the world's biggest cocktail party anymore, but I will, because I don't have to live by their political correctness. I can't believe that we live in an era now that the world's biggest cocktail party is offensive. But nevertheless, is Georgia going to steamroll them, though, 13.5-point favorites?
I'm a Georgia fan, but Florida's won the last three, Gabe, by 18.6 points per game. I think Florida's secondary will force Jake Fromm to make passes over the top of their secondary. I think that's the difference. I hope I'm wrong on this one. I think Georgia wins, but I do feel that Florida covers this 14-point number Saturday afternoon.
And we got 1 minute here. TCU lays 6.5 at Iowa State. We've seen the Cyclones knock off big boys in the past before.
Yeah, I like upset special. Iowa State defensively plus 8 in turnover margin, and they're holding opposing offenses to 120 rushing yards per game, ranked for the first time since 2005. I've been all over the Cyclones. I'm not backing down now. TCU does have Texas on deck. 28-21, Iowa State gets the win in Ames.
Bold prediction from Joe Lisi. GoForTheTwo.com, as I was out to expect nothing less. All right, Joe, we got 30 seconds, but we don't talk a lot of NFL football, but you are a Miami Dolphin fan, aren't you?
I am, and I love Matt Moore.
So, yeah, what do you think tonight? You like Matt Moore better than Cutler tonight?
Without a doubt. I wish Matt Moore was the starting quarterback. We would have a shot at actually winning a playoff game. I know we struggled last year against Pittsburgh, but I think Matt Moore is the guy to lead Miami back to the playoffs.
All right, I like where you're going with that. I agree. I think Matt Moore is a much better quarterback for the Dolphins than Jay Cutler is. Joe will speak Saturday morning. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Love the show, Gabe. Anytime.
There's Joe Lisi with us. We take a quick break. We come back with our plays of the day.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. And like any smart gambler, I'm very disciplined. You can't bet a lot of games, guys, all right? Oh, man, wait, what? Oh, we've got a ton of picks here, man. Give me the Miami Dolphins plus the 3 points. Matt Moore, well, he might be a backup quarterback, but I like him better in Cutler. He's 20-9 against the spread in his career as a starting quarterback. He's 10-4 on the road as a starting quarterback. I don't trust the Dolphins opponent laying points, the Ravens here. Give me the Miami Dolphins plus 3. We're going to tease the Dolphins plus 10 and under. You guys know I don't like betting on unders very much. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I've got to go under on the teaser, though. I don't trust the 37.5. We're gonna tease this. Jay Ajayi, over 83.5 yards. Come on, Gase. Give him the damn ball. He's on like two of my fantasy football teams. High cash leagues, too. And I'm going to bet on the prop over 83.5 yards. And the Baltimore Ravens gave up 145 yards a game on the ground. Joe Flacco, the dude blows, and he's got one eyebrow. He throws the ball all the time, even if they're short passes. Let's go over 20.5 completions. C.J. Mosley, over 8.5 tackles and assists. He's gone over this number in 4 of the 6 games, guys. All right. Dolphins and Raiders, long field goal prop. Justin Tucker, over 44.5 yards. Him and Parkey should be able to get it. Give me the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, playing on that cool old school court. Bulls. I don't bet on the Chicago Bulls often, but when I do, I lay the 2. Give me the Chicago Bulls tonight. Give me the Portland Trailblazers. Clippers have beaten them 6 times in a row. They're getting sick of it. Senators don't get any respect in the NHL. And some college football on the way out. Northern Illinois, South Alabama, and Stanford. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.